Mr. Holland, you'll be chairing the meeting in the next matter.
Okay. Old Dominion Electric Cooperative, who has that on the... Okay.
This is a request from Old Dominion Electric Cooperative, also known as ODEC, requesting authorization to temporarily deploy for up to 26 weeks, three buoys with support frames to test biofouling exposure on some screen material for a potential future water intake pipe. It will be located approximately 1,300 feet channelward of mean low water near the end of the Cobham Wharf Road and the old Cobham Wharf itself, which is in the James River in Surrey County. This is in conjunction with a proposed future possible Cypress Power Station, the coal-fired electric power station that may be built in Surrey. We did receive a number of protests from residents of the county. As I said, the project is located just offshore of the ruins of the old Cobham Wharf, approximately this location. There's a NOAA chart, again showing the old wharf. The location would be right. Carolina is right here. And an aerial view of our VGN photographs. Again, it's hard to see the wharf here, but there are remnant pilings, and this would be the general location of the test site. The applicant does seek to temporarily deploy three buoys, each having support frames with test screens attached. These proposed screens would simulate the type of screen that may be required for any future intake pipe related to the Old Dominion Electric Cooperative or a proposed coal-fired electric generation facility, which is currently being studied in the town of Dendron, which is in Surrey County. No application for an intake or outfall pipe related to this plant has been submitted yet by ODEC. This is just a test application. They only seek to place small test screens with samples of different material coatings to determine how well they will do biofouling, what type of biofouling will occur, and what type of coating would be preferred at this location. The buoys would be placed in water depths of approximately 12 feet at low water, with the actual screens on the framework being placed approximately 8.5 feet below mean low water. Each screen will have a 1 millimeter slot width. The applicant does note that this depth was used in consultation with the U.S. Coast Guard to allow for a minimum clearance of 7 feet during extraordinary low tide conditions. The proposed site is also approximately 4,000 feet from the shipping channel offshore at this location. They do propose to retrieve these screens periodically over the test period and then redeploy them, they're saying, for a total of up to 5 retrieval events. And the study is tentatively currently set to end in either September or early October, of course, depending on when they get the initial deployment overboard. This is and I have a revised drawing that they just gave me this morning, which looks very similar to this one. The only addition to that is that you'll note there is an additional anchor in addition to the anchor shown on this one, which were basically the proposal was to use 1-3 cinder block type anchors for the frame structure. You'll note in the current drawing there's an additional tethered actual anchor into the bottom. And I believe the applicant will address that a little further. Again, each one of these would be a test sample screen and attached to a underwater buoy and then eventually to a surface buoy at the surface, which I'll address in a second. This is a representative sample of the types of screen with the types of coating that they'll be putting overboard, 6-inch by 6-inch, which would represent the type of screen that might be used in the intake pipe eventually for the water withdrawal. We have received a number of objections to the project. Let me go back. We did receive one objection from an actual adjacent property owner. The other adjacent property owner signed off, not an objection. The immediately adjacent property owner, Mr. and Mrs. James Say, stated that they do object to the installation of any intake pipe at this location and any associated upland structures required for an intake. They further indicated they anticipate adverse impacts to wildlife and recreational use of the waterway associated with an actual pipe. They also noted there were some errors of the adjacent property owner information in the original application, which I will address that in a moment. We also received a letter of objection from Ms. Vicki Roach, objecting to the coal plan in general and believe that no permit should be allowed for activities within the James River until such time as the plant has actually received approval to be constructed. She also noted the James River should be protected from any additional pollution. We also received a letter from Ms. Rolinda Copeland. She noted that a lawsuit had been filed related to other approvals for the plant and that to consider any permit application related to the plant is a waste of taxpayers' money. Ms. Donna Hines also wrote us stating her objections to any disturbance to wildlife and to the citizens of Surrey County. Finally, we also received a letter of objection from Ms. Helen Cook Eggleston. She's an adjacent property owner, stating multiple concerns. Ms. Eggleston questioned whether the test screen coatings will have an adverse impact on marine life. She also believes the test system looks too flimsy and fragile to sit in the James River for any extended period, and that the system does not appear to mimic any future intake pipe conditions. She also noted the original application did not correctly identify the adjacent property owners. Staff did respond to all the protestants' letters, reminding them that this application was only for placement of test screen purposes, for screen samples for testing only, and that we had received no application of any type for the actual intake or outfall pipes that may be needed for the proposed facility in the future. We also noted that the ongoing lawsuit relates to local approvals and is not directly related to this application request. Additionally, we received additional information soon after the original application from the applicant indicating that there was an error in the adjacent property owner information, and they provided the corrected information at that time. We did subject this to a public interest review. We did send this to the Army Corps and the U.S. Coast Guard. The Army Corps has issued a letter indicating that it qualifies for their nationwide permit 5. The Coast Guard has indicated that provided the structures are marked with the appropriate buoy and they requested that they be lighted, that they also would approve the project. We also got comments from the Department of Conservation and Recreation and DEQ, along with the Game and Inland Fisheries, and they commented and do not object to the project. Also not noted in your evaluation, but just received yesterday, were VIM's comments. They also indicate that they do not have any objection to this test screen application. The applicant did provide us some additional information on the buoys to be used, and these are one of these type will be used. The Coast Guard had recommended that they be yellow and they be lighted. I think the applicant can address that further, but this is information the applicant indicated to me that they had submitted in reaction to the Coast Guard's recommendation of having the buoys lighted. While staff does understand that the protestants have concerns about any future coal-fired electrical generation facility in Surrey and the potential installation of an intake pipe at this location in the James River, that is not the subject of this current request. Additionally, the proposed buoy locations are immediately offshore of derelict pilings of the old wharf and will not be located near any marked channel. The project will be removed within a matter of months after deployment. They have also, as I noted, received both Army Corps and Coast Guard approvals. Therefore, based upon the foregoing, staff believes the impacts related to the project should be minimal. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering all the factors in 28.2.1205 of the code, we do recommend approval of the project with one permit condition that the applicant have lighted buoys as required by the U.S. Coast Guard. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know the applicant's here. I'm not sure how many protestants may be here.
Any commission member have any questions or comments at this point?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Ben, if I may, you pointed out that this is not about approval related to the plant project itself, but simply to the test buoys and the test grids that are going to be put out.
This is a potential proposed site of the actual intake pipe location, which I think is why they picked this spot to do the test. But they're really trying to determine what kind of material will be best appropriate for the intake screen itself related to some fouling that may occur at this location in the river.
But just in a broader sense, will there be a full-blown EIS conducted at this site, and will the commission have an opportunity?
And the applicant will probably address that. We asked some questions about where they were in the permit process.
Okay.
And the actual, they were on a pretty aggressive schedule. I've been to a lot of meetings related to it, but they have moved that back slightly. So I think we're looking at an application no earlier than next year for permitting that may be required here. But there are a number of permits that they are seeking from a lot of entities. And I think they're working with the Corps on environmental impacts related to the entire project.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you. Is the applicant here or his representative? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, members of the commission. My name is Davis Faulp, and I'm an environmental health and safety coordinator for ODEC. Quickly, to answer the question that was just posed, there is a full-blown environmental impact statement through NEPA that's being coordinated with the Corps of Engineers out of Norfolk. It's already been determined there will be an environmental impact statement prepared, and we're working with them and have been working with them the last couple of years. I would like to thank you for considering our permit application to conduct a biofouling exposure test study offshore from our property on the south side of the James River in Surry County near Cobham Wharf. ODEC is currently in the process of performing the permitting and due diligence efforts necessary for construction and operation.
Excuse me a minute. I didn't swear you in. You swear the testimony you're going to give is the truth and the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
ODEC is currently in the process of performing the permitting and due diligence efforts necessary for the construction and operation of the proposed Cypress Creek Power Station. The proposed power plant is to be a baseload facility fueled by coal and biomass, and upon acquiring all the necessary permits, clearances, and authorizations, the plant will eventually be located at one of two alternative locations, either near and parts in the town of Dendron in Surry County, or at a site in Sussex County. The current schedule for the Cypress Creek Power Station is for the plant and all associated facilities to be completed and operating by January of 2021. We are here today to request the necessary permissions to conduct a scientific study to evaluate the possible effects of biofouling on various types of screen materials that could be used on our processed water intake structure. Early project discussions with VMRC, the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, and DEQ have indicated that wedge-wired screens will need to be used on the water intake and that a minimum screen aperture size or maximum screen aperture size of no larger than 1 millimeter will be allowed and as required by these agencies, and that we have no more than a quarter foot per second flow-through rate. These parameters are being employed in order to provide the maximum protection to marine life during water withdrawal. We have a concern of potential biofouling due to the small slot openings and minimal flow through velocity. Biofouling of the screens would affect intake efficiency and the useful life of the screens. Since there is not a lot of data of such screens being used in marine or brackish environments, there's lots of data for this in freshwater systems. We are proposing to undertake the study. As staff has just indicated, our study will only test, at this point, we had originally applied for four different screen samples. We're only going to test three samples, all at 6 by 6 inches, at three different locations. One is a copper nickel alloy from Johnson Screens, which has shown to be highly effective in many applications in preventing the attachment of zebra and quagga mussels. We're also using testing a water-based epoxy coating provided by Ecological Coatings, which is currently used in many marine applications for similar purposes. And we are also using a control or an untreated stainless steel grid to verify the need, in fact, of employing an anti-biofouling measures. As stated earlier, the screen samples will be suspended at about 8.5 feet below the water surface level at approximately 1,300 feet from the shoreline and approximately 4,000 feet from the main shipping channel. Each of the three screen sample test locations will be marked by a small lighted buoy as required by the Coast Guard, and we will use a very similar amber or yellow colored buoy. And we have also are following the Coast Guard's requirements of having a lighted buoys, meeting their specifications. We anticipate the study to continue for approximately 26 weeks. We want to use the maximal window for growth, and we hope to, we had originally scheduled our application to remove all this by the end of September. We're a month behind, and we propose to work into October, but not to exceed 26 weeks. Approval of this work has already been received through the JPA process by the Corps of Engineers via a nationwide 5 permit with concurrence from DEQ, and we have we will meet the Coast Guard requirements, that the comments that have been received. There should be no permanent impacts to the river or wildlife through this action. Our application today is not for water withdrawal or permanent construction in the James River, and we understand that ODEC would need to apply separately to your commission for these permissions and anticipate that we will be back before you in the future as our project continues to develop. As of now, that's all I have, and I really thank you for the opportunity presented for you.
Any commission member have any questions or comments?
Mr. Holland, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I'm not sure I quite understand what the test is doing. If you're looking at just the quality of the material and how well it lasts in the environment, is there something in particular you could talk about there?
Well, yes, sir. We're currently engineering the design for the water intake structure, and we know because of Coast Guard requirements that we have to be at least 7 feet below surface level. So we're anticipating that the intake structure would be approximately 1,300 feet offshore where we're looking. This is a passive flow system. In the way they're created is to protect wildlife so that fish species or other planktonic species don't get entrapped or impinged on the screen surface as water is being intaken. And because of the latency of the water in the vicinity of the screen surface, there's going to be a big potential for attachment of marine species, algae and bryozoans and so forth that would attach to that. So we're looking for maintenance purposes and to not have to change out screens a lot and to keep our efficiency at its optimum flow rate like required, we need to see if there's anything we can engineer now that would meet those requirements.
So when you pull it up, you're looking to see what's grown into it and what's been caught by it?
Yes.
Okay.
And one thing I forgot to mention also from Mr. Stagg is we did look at the original design from the application, and we agreed that the conditions of the James River at this location, it's, we had to re-anchor this, and so we are going to employ an anchor to anchor the buoy system in much better. My discussions with our consultant last week indicated this anchor was probably going to be in the vicinity of 400 pounds. So it's not going to go anywhere, hopefully.
Do all of the designs of the plant entail some direct piping into the James necessarily?
Yes.
Okay. So there's not an alternative plan where it would be indirectly leading into the James as opposed to directly going into the James?
The pipe itself would be trenched under, and that's the plan for what we're looking at right now. The pipe would actually be below the surface of the James River, and only the inlet screen apparatus would be sticking up from the bottom of the. But again, we are not ready to present that yet, but that's what we're studying.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of the project? Yes, sir. State your name, sir.
Name is Robert Hall.
Okay, Mr. Hall, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks for an opportunity to speak. Like I said, my name's Robert Hall. I live at 172 Riverview Drive, which is about a mile upriver in the area of Scotland Wharf. I'm not opposed to the test facility being there. That particular area right at Cobham Wharf, I fish quite a bit there. The old wharf that's there, and there's actually another old set of pilings on the looks like the southeast side of that. It's kind of a For fishermen, it's real good, but for recreational skiing and jet skis and all that kind of stuff, I mean, no one even goes close to that area because it's so, you know, it's got so much debris and subsurface type stuff. So I don't see any public safety concerns just by me going up and down that river quite often. And like I said, the lighting of those buoys would probably be somewhat of a blessing for some period of time, just to keep people away from there that don't know what they're doing. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else here who is in favor of the project like to speak at this time? Okay. The opposition, I'll call them now. I'd like to remind, to reiterate one thing. The concerns about any future coal-fired electrical generation facility in Surry County and the potential installation of any intact pipe within the James River that is not subject to the current request by the applicant. So please keep your comments on what the application is about, which is the buoys. Okay? Who would like to speak? Okay. Sir? Ma'am? Come on. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Give us your name, please.
My name is Misty Furr.
Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. Just to give you a little bit of background on my history with this project, overall, I'm a former member of the Denver Town Council, the site of this proposed plant, and I do realize that that's not an issue today. But just to give you a little bit of background on my dealing with this company, and in general, some of the things that we've seen with this organization, is that there have been numerous times incomplete applications, both with their application to you, not having the name of. Originally not having the name of one of the adjacent landowners correct, to their application for zoning for the town of Dendron, which is currently being contested in the court system because they did not have that properly advertised, the public hearings for that. Looking at the original design of this, and I realize that they have changed the design and anchored it a little bit more, I have a feeling that there's a lot about the James River that they don't know, and certainly they're asking to experiment and to test. But I personally feel that too many of their applications have been incomplete in too many ways. And I would currently ask them, one, are they planning on applying any chemical agents to prevent biofouling on these screens? I realized that they had said it was a copper nickel alloy with one of the screens, a stainless screen and whatever. I'd like a little more information, and I would think you all would as well, a little more information on what those possible testing screens might have on them as far as any kind of chemical agents. I know in their application that they said that there were no species of wildlife in the area that are on the national endangered species list or threatened list. To my knowledge, I don't believe Atlantic sturgeon are on the national list, but rather the state list for threatened species. I don't know if that's the case in any other Atlantic regions. The James River has the distinct, I don't know if it's a honor or whatever, of being the only river in the Chesapeake region that has a known spawning population of Atlantic sturgeon, which are currently being looked at as, you know, becoming an endangered species. So whatever testing they might do on these screens, if it possibly affects that sort of wildlife, I would think it would be an issue that would need to be resolved before they place these screens in the water themselves. I also do want to point out, I would ask that Mr. Hall do state that he is an employee, I believe, of the Prince George Electric Cooperative, which is one of the member cooperatives of Old Dominion Electric Cooperative. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Place. I'm here. I'm the Director of Research and Policy for the Virginia Water and Statewide Association. And I'm here in opposition.
Let me swear you in.
Sure.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Proceed.
I'm deeply concerned over this application for a number of reasons. First, and I've read it very thoroughly, your entire packets. I've looked at every single thing at least twice. The one lady before me indicated that ODEC has a history of incomplete or misleading, frankly, applications, and I find that to be the case here, too. I have a long list of things, so I'm just going to bullet them. I know you all don't want to hear a lengthy explanation for each one, but if you go back to the drawing of the actual mechanism, I'll call it, that they want to put out there, only moments ago, and I think you got the same thing, I got a revised drawing that has an anchor rope with an anchor. By itself, I'm surprised that you would accept the type of application that they gave, and I find it unseemly or just improper to introduce at the very last second a new drawing. But since they did just introduce this, and what they've tried to correct on their deficient application here and the deficient engineering in this, you notice they've put a simple anchor with a rope tied to this. Anyone that's a waterman, especially one like myself that's fished countless hours in this area, can tell you that this structure that they have here to hold up the various alloy screens for testing on biofouling will not hold up. The currents are far too strong. I was just assuming that what looks like cinder blocks at the bottom of this structure must be something else. I assume they weren't really using cinder blocks, but they are. Those cinder blocks are not enough to anchor and to keep upright in the current so you would get proper testing of these screens without completely collapsing in a good tide. If you look at the drawing, and their copies they gave to you aren't very good, but you'll notice a buoy just above the screen structure, and then you'll notice another buoy just above that, and then there's another Coast Guard buoy above that. Any waterman that fishes the James River and knows anything about the currents in there will tell you that that's far too much hydrodynamic resistance for this to be upright for any period of time. And the entire structure will soon, and there are three of them, I realize now, it's not just one of these, there are three of them, will find itself carried downstream. So I guess I would call it relief to see that they just introduced this new drawing, which I think they should reapply and go through the proper process if they're going to be introducing new drawings at the last second. All this anchor, which the applicant described as possibly weighing 400 pounds, all it would do is hold the collapsed structure down. Some of the things they apparently don't understand about the James River, and I noticed their engineering firm is from Kansas City, Missouri, I think, or somewhere in Kansas. They apparently don't do much work with brackish water in Kansas, but they're going to have hellacious biofouling problems. I would cite as an item of juxtaposition something Mr. Bowden and Mr. Holland saw. You might remember the intake screen and the sophistication of the whole dog and pony show during the King William Reservoir in 2004 and how you all had to read and look at all those permutations of the intake screens there and how sophisticated their presentation was. Juxtapose that to this, and you'll realize that they haven't accounted for the type of biofouling they're going to have, which are bryozoa. Now, they do mention bryozoa. What watermen think, what bryozoa are shadgrass. Very few people, except for people at VIMS, understand that shadgrass are bryozoa, and it's not really grass. It's not even vegetation. Some people say it's not exactly an animal either. It's distantly related to corals, and it forms in communities, little, you get almost microscopic, but not quite. And it fouls everything, and it increases the hydrodynamic resistance on anything that's sitting up in the water. I'm sure anyone who's ever fished a net up there and gotten shadgrass on it knows that you can't leave something in the water without extraordinary anchors to hold it and expect it to still be there. So I would expect this structure as it's currently configured to eventually become some type of hazard, hopefully just a jumble of stuff down the bottom. But the bottom line is they're doing an experiment to test the biofouling capacity or resistance capacity of these different screens. And you would want any experiment that's going to be put out there and have to go through this whole process, you would want it to work. Even if this structure were to stay up, which I can tell you that it won't, given the area they want to put it in, the shear of the water, if you remember the King William Reservoir intake, there are all kinds of shear forces. It's not just perpendicular water flow through. And you also might remember that on the King William Reservoir, you had agreed to a 0.15 through slot velocity. These people are asking for much faster through slot velocity, 0.25. I would suggest that if you were to even consider this, hopefully upon producing a proper application for it, that you would ask for a much slower through slot velocity. But regardless of the through slot velocity, these screens are meant to be sitting to some imaginary way that they must think in Kansas that the tide runs. The tide doesn't run perpendicular to these screens like you might think. Some people just think the tide comes in and goes out. As any fisherman knows, when the tide begins to change, it swirls. There are multiple directions. They've essentially got a two-dimensional drawing and a two-dimensional solution to a multi-dimensional problem that they're going to have here. Another of many things I'm concerned about is that the chemistry of the water that they're going to be, that they want to put this experiment in, is not going to be the chemistry of the water that the actual intakes would experience. For one thing, and I think they need to replicate that to have the experiment have any validity. For one thing, the temperature of the water will be different. As you know, the outflow from the plant itself, in combination with the outflow of the Surrey nuclear plant, which is right next to it, we've already got huge amounts of thermal pollution. That thermal pollution keeps bacteria alive that would normally die off in the winter. That's why we're getting red tides and brown tides and everything else. That's why everything in the James River is biofouling much worse than any of our other riverine systems. When you add the thermal factor from a new outflow that's cooling a new power plant, you're going to exacerbate that situation. I mean, I can take you up there in the middle of January when normally, say, striped bass or jumping mullet or any other organism you like would normally have migrated out of these waters. They're still there in the winter because of the warm water from those cooling ponds. Same thing applies to the bacteria and the fungi that would normally die off. Bottom line, for more reasons than I'm going to go into here now, the entire structure and engineering and concept of what they have here is not going to be suitable for the James River. I would urge you to remember that in the King William Reservoir intake, and this has upset a lot of people, I think it was special permit condition 21, was introduced at the last minute after written public comment was already in, and that permit condition applied to a chemical piping structure that they wanted to put to keep biofouling off of that intake. Now, they didn't tell you what toxin they wanted to use. It was basically, without written comment, they got an unspecified toxin to be applied at an unspecified time in an unspecified manner and an unspecified amount. And I'll predict to you right now that when they find that these alloys aren't even close to achieving what they would need for this type of intake, that they will be back. And on the intake itself, they'll be asking you for some kind of chemical piping structure, and they may or may not, just like they didn't on the King William Reservoir thing, they may or may not tell you what that chemical is. But this experiment, because they won't, there are many other factors that will change in the water too. Increased nitrogen, increased sulfur dioxide, sulfur nitrogen oxide, all of that's going to increase water nitrogenicity. It's going to increase acidity. And all of that is going to have an effect on how these biofouling screens don't work. And so I think it's extremely premature for them to produce a primitive engineering design like this, especially legally, I would say, because it's not even a done deal that the town of Dendron has agreed to this. Yes, they did agree, but there's pending litigation now, because they had an improper public hearing where they didn't give the proper notice, and the public hearing that the applicants would point to was actually a vote that had been publicly denoted as an information-only meeting, not a vote on action. So that's in litigation, and ODAC right now is browbeating, frankly, the people, the plaintiffs that are asking for a proper public hearing. Just the other day, I'm not sure which court it was, but they turned down ODAC's appeal to dismiss the lawsuit and charge the citizens for all their legal bills. That's still going on. Until that is settled and there has been a proper public hearing and proper permission given from the town, I really don't think that we should be looking at a proposal like this, an experiment that's not going to be conducted in real world, in the real situation that it will be in the water. Consequently, whatever results they get from this are going to be tainted in many ways, but they'll have no applicability at all to the ultimate application for the ultimate intake. One thing, let me mention, it's on in your packet, Regional Permit 17, the Certificate of Compliance form. I noticed that on the one question of whether you've confirmed the proposed construction will not take place in one of the reaches which serve as habitat for federally threatened and list endangered species, technically, when they said no.
One more minute.
Okay, got a lot of important issues on this that I really think that you should have. I can't cover in a minute. I'm trying just to touch on each one. But many of you know that Atlantic sturgeon has been proposed by National Marine Fisheries Service for listing as endangered. Frankly, having studied sturgeon and written grant proposals to fish right in that area, I can tell you the place is flush with sturgeon. Frankly, I hope they're not listed, but I do think it's misleading on this section of their application to indicate that this is not the habitat for a species which very potentially could be listed at the highest level. I have questions, Mr. Chairman. I guess they should be addressed to the people from ODAC. I have questions over what the frame is made of. If there's any metallic stuff there, it looks to me that with all those dissimilar metals, they haven't taken into account the electrolysis that will take place. I don't see any sacrificial metals to keep everything from corroding. I also would point out that the proposed length of their experiment is not long enough, and I'm not saying I want their stuff in the river any more than this, but it's not long enough to see how those materials are going to react in the various situations that they would encounter over time. I would urge you to have them get an engineering firm that has worked in brackish water, does understand what salinity does to dissimilar metals, and have them reapply, preferably at the proper time. This wouldn't be a hardship to the applicant. If you look at the time frame for their proposed experiment, they say April through September. Unless they're ready to get it out there tomorrow, they've already lost most of April, and it won't suit their purpose, the purpose of the experiment.
Wind it down for me, Kevin.
Pardon?
So wind it down for me, please.
Yes, sir. I will say that I do have quite a few other major concerns here. I do hope I have a chance to present them to you, because it goes straight.
You can present us anything in writing.
Pardon?
You can present anything in writing you want to be part
okay.
of the record.
Well, I certainly hope that you don't grant this now, and there's no reason for it, because they've already gotten to the point by doing this at the last second. They've already gotten to the point where they can't do their whole project in the time that's left in the year. So I think it would be in everyone's interest if they did get proper permission, if the litigation that's pending was settled, and if they presented you a decently engineered diagram of how they would want to do this, and also hopefully mimic the real conditions that the intake itself would be in. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, Mike Eccleston, Surrey County resident.
Swear you in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Proceed.
My biggest concern is this doesn't mirror real-world conditions. Like Kelly said, the biofouling is going to completely plug that screen, and there's been no mention of any chemical coating or poison on that screen. There's also been no mention of the fact that they're going to be pumping effluent back into the James River. I want assurances that there's not going to be scrub or wash water in that effluent laced with mercury, because
the public hearing here is
right.
The applicant is on this buoy. It
doesn't okay.
have anything to do with the plant. So if you'll just keep your comments to that.
Okay. Well, I'm concerned with the misinformation that has been put out by this organization so far.
Let me note that this, according to the application, this is an intake, a design for the intake only. It has nothing to do with
that. Ask them if they're going to be pumping effluent back into the river.
It does not say that.
Yeah, I know it doesn't say it. That's another incomplete. It's about as complete as a 2.5 micron carbon study. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Hi. Hello, Eccleston.
I'd like to swear you in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Proceed.
You have a letter that I wrote to this commission expressing my concerns and containing some comments, and I would just like to reiterate those without going into them in depth. I would also like to reiterate exactly what Kelly Place said. I think he phrased it very well. Those concerns are all of our concerns. The main thing that concerns me, even with these test screens, is the possibility that they will use some sort of biofouling agent, chemical agent, to destroy this. And that it would have some impact not only on the sturgeon, but also on other marine life. And Mr. Hall, who spoke in favor of this project, apparently is not too terribly familiar with this area, because there is a bit of jet skiing that goes on down there. And he works for Prince George Electric, who is one of ODEC's electric co-ops. As the CEO of Prince George Electric likes to put it, I'm sure he's a team player. My concern also is with mention of the clogging of these screens, if you will, with the shad grass. That is going to be a major concern. And if it is in evidence in this particular area, then they are going to have a terrible time keeping their screens unclogged without some sort of chemical additive to these screens to prevent this. Other than that, and the reiteration again of Mr. Place's suggestion that they give that they create a better testing apparatus to do this with, I would like to encourage that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak? Yes. Your name, sir?
Ronald Perry.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
Proceed.
First, let me thank you, Chairman and Commission members. I feel like it's an honor to speak before you. I grew up in Hampton. If you look close, my feet are webbed feet because I grew up on a creek. But I'm a resident of Newport News. I'm downstream from where this will be, but also have a farm in Surrey County. And let me say up front, I'm against a power plant, but how this affects y'all is that I look at it this way. We've got a beast, a proposed beast, and this is a tentacle. What y'all are considering today is one of these tentacles, and I'm very much against it for economic, health, wildlife, waterfowl, quality of life, not only for this area here. And I would like to add that there were a number of residents in Surrey County, but also in Sussex, Isle of Wight, Nansemond, Newport News, York County, Williamsburg, James City County, Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, and even the Chesapeake Bay Foundation is opposed to this. So I thank you for your consideration, and again, this has been an honor to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Anyone else? Okay. I'll give the applicant 2 minutes to wind it down. You're already sworn. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you again. I just want to reiterate that this is a test. We are conducting a test to actually address a lot of the concerns that were brought up today. There's concerns that shad grass or bryozoans would be attaching to our screens, and that's exactly what we're looking at finding out what materials actually exist that are naturally resistant to this. We're looking besides stainless steel, which is the material to make the screens with in normal production. We're looking at two applications that are currently in common use, copper nickel alloy, which is another type of metal, and a water-based epoxy coating over the stainless steel to see what those effects are. Other than that, that's all I have to comment on, other than the fact about the late addition of the anchor, and I apologize for that. At the time of the application, we had not selected a firm to actually do the studies. The application was developed by our permit consultant. We have since hired a contractor to monitor the screens and to deploy the screens in this test, and it was their suggestion that we re-anchor and add an additional anchor, so we thought that was a benefit to the project. Thank you.
Let's see if anybody has any questions.
Yes.
Do you have any concern that the structure will turn over?
The actual idea of the weighting of the cinder blocks, if you will, is to keep it, that's our engineering, is to keep it vertical in the water column. And we currently in the application have people coming out to test retrieve, and to take data every 5 weeks. But if we find out, we're actually going to do that within the first week after it's applied in the field, see what happens in a week. And if we need to adjust that, we can adjust the frequency of examination.
Just a couple of questions. One of the kind of trying to get to the bottom of a lot of the opposition with regards to this particular test and mm-hmm. what it means, there were a lot of questions about whether this would be a reliable test. And I would say, if it's an unreliable test and you try to use it in a permit application at a later time, that's a question that you all need to solve at that time. But the only thing that concerns me is whether or not it would be futile to perform this test because of reliability questions, and then it creates some type of water hazard. And so that was the one thing that popped out in the opponents to the application, was whether or not it would be a water hazard to anyone should it collapse in the water. And I wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Like I said, this is something we have not done as a company. The people that we're using to do the study, they have done these types of studies. And that's why we're going to deploy and then go back in a week to see what we can actually see, what the situation is. That's the idea of a test. We don't know. We're testing. We're out there to do a study to see what we can gain from that.
It's not a large structure. I mean, it's minor size structure.
We're talking 6x6, so you got three screens that are be hanging in the water column like that.
And in this vicinity, were it to collapse, as predicted by one of the folks here, would it create a water hazard? That's really my question to anybody using the area recreationally or fishing or otherwise.
Well, it should still be anchored in place with the buoy on the surface.
So the response is it would not be?
I don't believe so, no, sir.
Any other? Mr. Tanker?
One last question, and that is when you revisit it after a week, and it sounds like you're going to visit it more times, will there be chemicals applied to this? Okay.
No, sir.
Thank you.
No chemicals applied other than what's in the application, the materials used.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
That's our whole goal in this entire thing, is as we're developing and trying to engineer this, we're trying to do it correctly.
Thank you, sir. Manage before the commission. Mr. Tanker.
Move to approve a staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins.
Motion by Mr. Tanker. You want some comments? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I appreciate the concerns that have been raised and brought before the commission about the broader economic or broader environmental impacts associated with the plant, but those impacts are not before us today. What's before us today is really a question about this test apparatus, and I think it's a reasonable proposal as has been recommended by staff. The broader environmental impacts will be evaluated through the EIS process, and if there are additional structures that would come into the waterway, the commission would have a full permit review of those matters at that time.
I would only comment, my comments would be pretty much the same, that if this is an unreliable test and provides information that cannot be relied upon, the opponents of the project would then have that fodder to use at a later time if this company did not test this appropriately. So the real question to me is whether it creates a hazard. I've really not heard anything that suggests that it would create a hazard out there.
Any other comments? Mr. Tank, did you make the motion?
Yes, I did.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second, Mr. Robbins. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstained, unanimous.
Thank you.